uncle dies and leaves you a peach orchard. You got no idea. As far as you know, peaches come from the grocery store, not trees. So you go out and you start looking around and you think it's pretty cool, and you notice there's workers still there and they're picking peaches and they're hand-holding them, testing them, separating the good ones from the bad ones. And you think, you kind of got this creative engineering background, let's build a machine that can do this. And so we'll just dump all these peaches in and they'll get separated out. Good peaches over here, bad peaches over here. We may even grade them a couple times, but we're going to do that. And you, so you begin to build the machine. And at some point, it dawns on you, I have no idea how to tell the difference between a good peach and a bad peach. So how can you build a machine that without a pre-existing standard of what a good peach is or a bad peach? How can the machine know to tell the difference if the builder doesn't even know? And so you begin to just to look into that. And that's where this comes from. We have a standard that comes out of here, that comes out of an even deeper source. And it's our ultimate authority. And everybody has ultimate authority. Some, it's their own mind, their own thinking in their own mind. That's the ultimate. My opinion is so valuable that the entire world should adjust to my opinion and agree with me.
Well, that's where sometimes you'll hear it, it drives me bonkers. You'll be reading scripture or whatever, and someone will dismiss it and say, well, that's not my God. My God won't do that. And I'm like, what are you talking about?
What's your authority?
Yeah, I mean, their authority is their own passions, their own desires. And so they'll conform scripture, and I'm like, wow. They've just, I mean, that's the height of idolatry. Creating God in an image, I mean, their image, whatever they want God to be. And if they run up against scriptures that push against that, well, that's not my God.
Anybody remember Jethro Tull? Rock band from the
60s.
Oh, I had got one of their albums one time, and on the back was this phrase, and I can still picture it and read it right there. It says, in the beginning, man created God in his own image. Well, that's interesting. But I mean, I could still picture the album. I could still see the words right there. It's just one of those imprinting moments. And I hear that occasionally. That's what we do, is we don't like this God. So we, Romans 1, begin to worship something from the creation, even if it's a creation of our own mind. The creature versus the creator in worship. So we're once enslaved to these elementary, to this world. We have no choice. But when the Holy Spirit comes in, we begin to be transformed to see, eyes of our understanding is open, the transformation of our life, how the world then begins to perceive us, because of the renewing of our mind. And memorizing scripture does not renew the mind. Mm-hmm. It helps. I mean, think of the scribes and Pharisees in Jesus' day. They had vast amounts of scripture memorized. But if they'd have only known, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. Mm-hmm. The ultimate sting. How do we get the God of life into the heart of death and blow the whole thing up from the inside out? Mm-hmm. And the way was through the cross. Mm-hmm. They'd have done everything possible to keep them off that cross if they had understood the plan of God. Mm-hmm. But it was hidden in a mystery, which Paul then got to be the basic revealer of those mysteries. So we transform. We have the new way of thinking is rooted in Christ, not in here. We've been given the Holy Spirit that we would know the things that are freely given to us in Christ. In Christ. That's an awesome phrase. It's the most used, it's like 50 times, the most times in Ephesians. In Christ. In Christ are all the promises. Outside of Christ, there's only one. Those that call on the name of the Lord will be saved. There's only one promise outside of Christ. But all the fulfillment of all those things, the transformed life, to represent Him more faithfully as time goes on.
I think it's important to just always keep in mind, and this is again what I was thinking about, that this bondage to the natural man that you're talking about, that is the starting block of every single person that's ever been born. I mean, yes. Including you, including me.
We're born dead.
Yes.
Yeah.
That's
yeah.
the starting block. Every person starts in is bondage to the natural man.
Mm-hmm. Yes. And we all hate change. I came across a proverb that said to avoid people who are changeable, who change a lot. And the implication was that this person had to have the stability. Avoid people like that that are constantly changing. Right here is a big one. How do we apply this to government? It's just a natural consequence. Marx's whole ideas were just a natural consequence of his observance, and then Nietzsche followed along with that to build up an entire philosophical system based on the natural world. Everything changes. Evolution is a fact. And evolution is going to carry man to, Nietzsche called it an Übermensch, Superman. Marx was the perfect communist man. They had these ideas, but they're rooted here. And without a philosophy that starts here, we got no chance of dealing with this. And this, in my opinion, is one of the reasons why we're going backwards in a lot of ways. We're losing a whole lot of ground that was once Christian is now not Christian anymore. The things we begin to value in ethics, how do we decide right from wrong, all flow from this governing authority. How we view reality, how do we know what we know? And then how do we live those out? What's important? What's our priorities? All of that flows is a kind of a last step. That's the part that then eventually touches the world. Everything in the gospel eventually has to touch the world. That's the point. It's not so we can become more and more and more and more spiritual, which we do, but the point of that is to then become more effective out in the world, in whatever it is that God has called us to do. So, we start with these presuppositions, and the presuppositions, we're doing a few minutes. Presupposition is the most basic building blocks. And they can't be tested. They are believed by faith in an authority. Faith without an authority is blind faith, also called credulity. Christians, we're often accused of having a blind faith because God doesn't exist. We believe in something that doesn't exist, so it's blind faith. But it's not. It's actually the eyes of our understanding have been opened. They can't see it. And they'll never see it. We have an access to a knowledge. There's experiential knowledge, which that's valuable and legitimate. Then there's thinking knowledge. We can learn stuff by thinking through things. You know, like, you didn't think that through, did you? Hear that a lot. But we also have revelation knowledge. We have the source of knowledge in the Spirit. These guys hate that. They don't even believe it exists. We're just making stuff up. Fairy tales. God didn't tell you that. Okay. But we have that anyway. So these presuppositions come from our ultimate authority, which is God first, the Bible second. And they never contradict. Never, ever. And we have this whole way of doing it. In Christ, the church has the answer to every human problem there is on the face of planet Earth, including the problems with nature. Because John 14:12, Jesus said, the same works I do, you will do also. And he commanded the weather. Anybody practice commanding weather? We just do that. Practice. So this grows out of here. I'm going to read you. This is from Cornelius Van Til. And he said, instead of trying to prove the truth of Christianity to the regenerate, we assume its truth at the outset because we have an authority. We start at a starting point. And then challenge the natural man by demonstrating that based on his own presuppositions, nothing is true, nothing can be accounted for, and his own thinking is invalid. Your entire way of thinking. Paul said, I didn't come to you like that. I came to you from here. Demonstration of the reality of the kingdom of God. And then he used this example of the natural man's condition. Suppose we think of a man made of water in an infinitely extended and bottomless ocean of water. Desiring to get out of the water, he makes a ladder of water. He sets this ladder of water upon the water and against the water and attempts to climb out of the water. So hopeless and senseless a picture must be drawn of the natural man's methodology, based as it is upon the assumption that time and chance is his ultimate authority. Christian theism, which was first rejected because of supposed authoritarian character, it is seen as the only position which gives human reason a field of successful operation and true progress in knowledge. And we start here, the Colossians. All the treasures of wisdom and knowledge are hidden in Christ. The secrets of the universe are all in Christ. He's the one that made it. He knows how it works. And he has communicated. Story of George Washington Carver, that God gave him 700 things you can do with a peanut. Almost bankrupted the peanut industry because they were making so many things out of it. And so everybody was planting peanuts and just flooded the markets. And the whole universe is like that. It's discoveries of energy sources and things like that. They're still waiting for us. And God always tries to give it to the people of God. There were several who knew about computing, but it was Steve Jobs and Bill Gates that picked up on it, and they saw the future and were really willing to do whatever it takes to bring that future into reality. And here we are. Who would want a personal computer? The attitude of HP management at the time. So we start with ultimate authority. Hebrews 6 says that because God could swear by no greater, he swore by himself. That goes back to Genesis 22. He is a self-attesting authority, the only valid self-attesting authority. And that's why we can start down here with this presuppositions. The Bible is true. How do we know it's true? God said it's true. Spirit wears witness that it's true. And so then that looks like circular reasoning. If you live here, it looks exactly like circular reasoning, but the circle is more like this. It comes back. But then there's this larger area, which is evidence. Everything that's true here should have evidence for it. This is not the proof. This is the proof. But the evidence is out here. If what the Bible describes about the origins of the universe is true, then there ought to be evidence for it. And there is. But that's not our starting point. We start here because it is true. Then we go out and look for the evidences that show it's true. And we don't start with evidence. Because evidence will never come bring you to here. If they're hints of what's down here. Kind of go through the whole Old Testament. Are hints of something great that God is going to do, but until we get to the New Testament, we don't know what it is.
You got your 2-minute warning.
So Paul unpacks all that for us. And we get to go back and read it. And I've been recommending that take the next year and just read the New Testament. It'll naturally evolve into study. Yeah, evolve is a good word. It just gets abused by these people. Mm-hmm. So just read it. Put it, read for 15 minutes, put in your bookmark. Come back again. But just read it. And then go back and read it again. And it's just, there's so much. That's why I really focus on a lot of this. We didn't get to Isaiah 55. Well, my thoughts are not your thoughts. But they ought to be. We have the mind of Christ. Mm-hmm. We have the Spirit of the living God. Mm-hmm. Then our thoughts, who are not His thoughts, little by little by little, mm-hmm. become His thoughts. Mm-hmm. And we become more finely attuned and hear more clearly and become more effective when it takes these back into here, because these people are in desperate need of help. Mm-hmm. And most of them don't know that. No, we don't need God to figure it out. We'll do it. We'll figure it out. Bertrand Russell said, "What science can't tell us, man can't know." That's starting here. He lives in the box. Father, we thank you that you've given us your Spirit. You gave us your Son. And that in Christ, the universe opens up. That there's a world who desperately needs to see the truth of it in demonstration. They've heard all the words, but they need to see the demonstration of it. And we thank you for everything that you've done for us and how you watch over us and take care of us. We bless you. I pray for the service coming up. Eyes to see and ears to hear what you would say. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Amen.